I am your host, Tracy Ross. I am joined in the studio by a brave, brave soul. It's Dr. Rusty Jones, Assistant Professor of English at Murray State and also Chair of the Murray Shakespeare Festival. Rusty, thanks for making the trek in today.
Oh, my pleasure, my pleasure. Well, actually, I have to thank my neighbor and his four-wheel drive Range Rover for that pleasure. But so thank you, Mr. Larry, for that. I appreciate the trip in through the Arctic wilderness out there.
And we were discussing beforehand, it looks like you guys got lucky with the Shakespeare Festival because all of this weather should be pretty much out of here by Thursday when it begins, I guess, with the showing of O at Cinema International, right?
That's right, yes. We open with O this weekend, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. It's a free show at the Currys Center Theater. And O is a wonderful film, a modern adaptation of Othello, featuring, oh my goodness, Mika Pfeiffer, I think, and Julia Stiles, if I'm not mistaken. And the whole text of Othello, the whole story of Othello, is placed into a high school, and Othello is a star basketball player dating a white student, and they are set upon by a very, very jealous rival who makes it his mission to destroy their lives.
And then on Monday, we began, I guess, the main part of the festival with the Shakespeare flash mob and insult battle. Can this really be as literal as I think it is?
It is indeed. We tried this last year with a little bit of trepidation, and it ended up being such a fantastic success. Murray State Sock and Buskin Theater Group, they don costumes, they memorize a whole series of insults, and they perch themselves all over the Currys Center, basically on the second floor, insulting each other in great Shakespearean ways. And then we get the folks who gather. We get them involved. We pass out a series of insults that can make their own Shakespearean insult combinations. And the best insults, as judged by Sock and Buskin, will get some free passes to the shows. They'll get T-shirts, that kind of thing. But it's just wonderful to watch an 18-year-old student just scream at another one about, oh, goodness, I'm trying to think of some of the better ones. you miscreant malcontent or something like that. That they're only half sure what they're saying, but they know it sounds terrible.
Let's see. Looks like you've got a workshop then coming up, Very Honest Knavery, Shakespeare's Disguises, and that's at 2 o'clock on Monday. I guess this is just about the way that Shakespeare chose to use costuming in his work.
Both of these workshops, well, all the workshops, some of them are in combination with Murray State faculty. Others are conducted by the professional actors from the American Shakespeare Center who are coming next week. But yes, they're going to do one on how Shakespeare uses costuming, but also just physical transformation by the actors to suggest disguise when men dress as women, et cetera, et cetera. But also how a character like Iago can disguise himself to be anything and not actually change his costume, but just transform himself into your best friend, into your best confidant, and the next thing you know, he's stabbing you in the back, sometimes literally. There's another wonderful workshop that day, Monday, on performance cues. How to read the text for to tell you what it is you're supposed to be doing, because Shakespeare never wrote any stage directions, or really very few at all. And he didn't need to. He embedded what you need to do in the text, so they're going to help us find those cues in the text. And then that night, we've got our first performance of Henry IV, Part 1.
Well, tell me about Henry IV, Part 1, and basically where it stands, I guess, in the hierarchy of Shakespeare's plays and what it's about.
Well, let me start by saying in the 14 years that the festival's been in existence, we have never had a history play come here. And I think that there was a little bit of fear that when people heard the word history, they were going to run like heck away from this performance, thinking that it was just going to be a kind of a boring discussion of different the lines of English kings and queens. But it's nothing like that. Henry IV, Part 1, is part of a series of four plays, beginning with Richard II, Henry IV, Part 1, Part 2, and then the famous Henry V, that tells the tale of the rise of Henry IV, who came to the English throne, at least in Shakespeare's version, in somewhat sketchy fashion, not quite on the up and up. And once he takes the throne, he has to battle rebels from without, from rebels from within. His own son doesn't spend any time at court learning how to become a good king. His son instead, Prince Hal, hangs out at the taverns with some very disreputable characters, Falstaff, Pistol, Nim, Mistress Quickly. And they're some of the most engaging and intriguing characters you're ever going to see. They laugh with Hal. They tell jokes. They tease each other. They go on thieving missions that don't come to anything because Hal really is a good guy at heart, so he makes sure nobody gets hurt, etc. Falstaff is roundly humiliated at absolutely every single turn. But over the course of the play, Hal learns that that's the side of life that eventually you need to set aside when you have the responsibilities of rule, of kingship, etc., looking you in the face. then you've got to leave those childish things behind. And it's really quite heartbreaking to watch him move steadily away from Falstaff and company and embrace kingship. And he has to overcome his own doppelganger, his own almost evil twin in the form of Henry Hotspur, whose name tells you everything you need to know about him. And so really it's a coming-of-age story. It's a comedy. You've got touches of sadness here and there, but a lot of festivity. So it's a very unpredictable play, but it's also very, very wonderful and tons of fun. So we've got a lot of schools coming to see this particular play. It should be really quite rewarding.
And then next Tuesday at 10 a.m. in Lowood Auditorium, a performance of Othello.
Oh, my goodness,
Othello.
One
of the great plays of Shakespeare.
Oh, yes, indeed. You don't want to miss Othello. I'm always struck by how modern it is in the sense that it's such a psychological drama. Othello is a North African Moor. He's living amongst white European Venetians. He is part of that community and yet not part of that community. They love him when he's helping them militarily. Otherwise, characters like Iago tend to use his vulnerability against him. He has married Desdemona, who's the daughter of Brabantio, who's a very famous and very important person in Venice. And his whole situation makes him so vulnerable, as I said, to someone like Iago, who's so deeply jealous of him and whose motives are so difficult to pin down.
Iago is one of the purest villains Shakespeare ever wrote.
He
never really made excuses for himself.
No, and I mean, he reminds me, that character reminds me in ways of Hannibal Lecter, if anyone's ever seen Silence of the Lambs. Not that Iago eats people or anything like that, but he does like to assault your mind before he assaults your body. He likes to torment you before he destroys you. And in that way, he's wonderfully psychologically intricate and difficult.
Later on Tuesday, we have another workshop. This is Shakespeare's Rhetoric, and this is at 3:30 at Lovett Auditorium.
It is. We're going to teach students and members of the community. These are all free and open to everybody. All about Shakespeare's rhetoric and how he constructs the imagistic language that he does. We're also trying something new. We have a presentation on Tuesday, too, with in our library, where Ashley Ireland is going to talk about the history of the book and the history of Shakespeare as far as book publication is concerned. We haven't done something like that before, so that should be interesting.
And then that evening, we'll close out with another performance of Othello in Lovett. This will be from 7 to 9:15 p.m. And then Othello again on Wednesday at 10 a.m., also at Lovett Auditorium.
And you'd think I'd get tired of watching it all these times, but I don't.
I bet you see something different every single time you see it performed.
Absolutely.
And I think that can probably be said about most of Shakespeare's works.
Mm-hmm.
The workshops will continue next Wednesday with Wooden O. Shakespeare's Staging.
Mm-hmm. Yes, where we'll teach people about the staging conditions during Shakespeare's time, what the actual stage layout was, the kinds of things you could and couldn't have on the stage at this time, and we'll actually set it up so that participants can actually get up out of their chairs and imagine what it was like to actually stage these plays in the conditions as they applied in 1599, 1600.
And then Shaping Fantasies, playing multiple characters. This sounds fascinating to me.
Oh, yes, because Shakespeare, we often look at as a he doesn't have many list of the people who played in his plays, but there are a few. And you wonder how such large plays could be done by 8, 9, 10 people. And the answer, of course, is they played multiple roles. So we're going to teach participants about how they can walk off stage and without donning a ton of makeup or a whole giant new costume, come back on as a completely different character, just with a few indicators, but a lot of changes in voice, a lot of changes in physicality, changes in the language that they're speaking, etc. I can give you an example of this from Shakespeare's King Lear. Everyone's always kind of mystified how the actor playing Cordelia is throughout the opening of King Lear, then goes away, and the fool comes on, and the fool is throughout most of King Lear, and then the fool just vanishes for almost no reason whatsoever, right at the point where Cordelia comes back in. And I've read whole papers talking about the thematics of this and that of it, and it seems very obvious to me that one character played Cordelia and the same person, or one actor played Cordelia and the same person came back on as the fool and then left and then came back on as Cordelia again.
I think you're probably right. Dr. Kathy Callahan then will have a lecture, The World of Young Prince Hal.
Mm-hmm, yes, since we do have a history play, we thought it's a wonderful time to increase the amount of interdepartmental contact that we have. So we asked Kathy Callahan to do a lecture on Hal's time and I'm sure that it'll interface a little bit with Shakespeare's own time so that we can look at why this particular historical story was so meaningful to Shakespeare's audience in the late 16th century. Because for them, history was something that told them about their own time period as much as it told them about the past. So a little bit like for us, if we go to see a historical movie, say about Pearl Harbor or something like that, it would make us reflect on the wars in our own time or the conflicts in our own time. Same is true with Shakespeare.
And then Wednesday we'll close out with an event at the Playhouse in the Park.
Oh, this not to be missed. We tried this last year. We opened this event up to the entire community to come to Playhouse in the Park in Murray Central Park. And the actors from the American Shakespeare Center conducted a workshop. We're going to do it a little differently this year. Last year, we held a workshop where we directed them, the actors. The audience directed the actors in their scenes. This time, the people who come will have the opportunity to get up and be directed by the American Shakespeare Center actors and to put on a scene from Shakespeare that they will bring with them. So it's a little like on-the-job training. Very interactive, very lively. It should be terrific. So that's at 5 o'clock, if I'm not mistaken, out at Playhouse
yes,
in the Park.
5 o'clock.
On Wednesday, it's also free. Donations are gratefully accepted, but we're not pressing people on that.
Then Thursday, it's a trip to Murray Elementary School and Murray Middle School with Barbara Cobb. That's going to happen. And then what I'm sure is going to be one of the most popular of your workshops, the Stage Fighting Workshop, which is at 3 o'clock.
Yes, we always turn them away at the Stage Fighting Workshop. I mean, we're trying to get bigger and bigger venues for that. People just love to see that. The American Shakespeare Center actors will come in and they will teach their version of stage fighting where they'll talk about how to use swords in a way that won't get you killed, how to take a punch in a way that won't actually leave a mark, how to pretend you're breaking someone's neck, how to fall correctly, etc. But then we've also got Matthew Kreider from Murray State's Theater Department and his group of historical reenactors and students from his stage fighting class that he's teaching right now. And I think that they are going to stage the final battle between Hotspur and Hal using their own stage fighting techniques. So it's going to be an absolutely phenomenal event, so you don't want to miss that one.
And then we'll have a gender and diversity studies roundtable with Dr. Josh Adair at 3:30, and that, I'm sure, will be very illuminating.
Oh, absolutely. I think Josh's students are going to talk about Othello, obviously, with the matter of diversity, but they may also touch on some of the gendered issues in plays like Merry Wives, which is coming up Thursday night.
And then next Thursday at 7 o'clock in Lovett Auditorium, it's the Merry Wives of Windsor. Tell us about that play.
You don't want to miss it. And for those out there listening who are afraid and think Shakespeare is nothing but people standing around in tights being boring, you want to come see Merry Wives of Windsor because it is just absolute fun, not really particularly deep, very, very funny. The legend has it, and it's a very specious legend, but the legend has it that Queen Elizabeth so loved the character of Jack Falstaff, the drunken, riotous knight, that she said, I want to see him in a comedy, I want to see him fall in love, and I want to see him overthrown by women. And that is exactly what happens in Merry Wives of Windsor. That is the plot. Falstaff starts off to woo two married women using the same love letter, just with their names changed at the beginning. Never a good idea, folks, if you're listening. Never a good idea, because people tend to talk to each other. So the women share these letters and become a bit outraged and think, well, we're just going to lead this guy on and then overthrow him to our delight and the delights of the audience.
And then you'll close out things next Friday with a final performance of Henry IV, Part 1. That's at 10 o'clock in Lovett Auditorium.
Yep, and all of these are not just school shows in the morning. They're open to anyone who can't come at night. They are welcome to come to Lovett Auditorium. You can buy your tickets right there in Lovett. You don't have to prepay. If you want to reserve tickets and just have me hold them, you can contact me at wjones1@murraystate.edu or call me at 809-2397. This information is also on our website, www.murraystate.edu/Shakespeare. So you can find that information there, and my contact information is there if you missed it. And, you know, we hope to see as many people there as possible. There's some really, really fantastic things. We really expanded the range of what we're trying to do this year.
Dr. Rusty Jones, Assistant Professor of English at Murray State and Chair of the Murray Shakespeare Festival, thanks so much for making it up today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
You're listening to Sounds Good on WKMS. We sound good because of listeners like you.